So this is a shiur not really designed for this time of year, but it applies to this time of year. I came up with this a little while ago on Lag BaOmer time. I'll tell you the background that sort of led to it is that a couple of years ago in DRS, students were going around asking me and like a bunch of other people, like they're like, what do you think is more important, Lag BaOmer or Yom HaAtzmaut? And I'm like, why would you ask such a question? Like, why is that a question? I was like, what's more important, Sukkot or Pesach? Like, I don't know. Like, they're both what they are. So apparently the background was that one of the Rebbeim had said that Lag BaOmer is a day where we don't say Tachanun, the end. Noagim b'ktzas simcha. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch, that's what it is. And Yom HaAtzmaut is a day that you try to celebrate. Hopefully, what will be the Askalta de Geula, and you know, there's a real inyan of Akoras Hatov Tashem for something that's happened, you know, etc. Whatever. So he was saying how he thought that one was really, you know, nice to skip Tachanun, especially if it's Thursday, you know, and the other one was really a thing. So, and you know, he was saying that if you hold like the Chasam Sofer and you hold like the Ramban, that it could even be a Chiyuv Doraisa to say Hallel on that day. Okay, so it's a nice topic to discuss. You know, I'm sure there have been numerous write-ups and shurim about it. And this, the other Rebbe was saying how that no, it's he was taking the much more Hasidish approach on Lag BaOmer, which is Lag BaOmer was the birth of the entire Torah Sanistar, and it was salvation of Kol Torah Kula. And so he says, Eretz Yisrael is important, but Eretz Yisrael is not as important as Torah. So therefore, Lag BaOmer is more important. So I wanted to. So then I decided to be a little bit of a nudnik, and I said, actually, I think they're exactly the same because they're both celebrating the exact same thing. So clearly, they're not celebrating the exact same thing. But I tried to back it up. So I sort of prepared this shiur, but. And I said it over a couple of times, but I think it's very appropriate for now, for this time of year also, when we're sort of out of the period of mourning for the Churban, and we're sort of looking forward towards what we can do to rebuild, towards what we can do to build up, and looking towards the future. So for starters, I'll start talking about Lag BaOmer, but I think we'll arrive at a universal understanding of what's going on here. So take a look on the first source of Shulchan Aruch, which is Nogeya to Lag BaOmer. So it's in Hilchos Pesach, Hilchos Sfiras Omer. It says, Noagim shelo l'staper ad Lag BaOmer, sheomrim she'oz pasku milamus. So he says that the minig is not to get a haircut until Lag BaOmer, because that's when they say they stop dying. The Talmidim Rabbi Akiva stopped dying. Ve'in l'staper ad yom lad BaOmer. Right, so for the Shulchan Aruch Shita is that you're not supposed to take a haircut until Lad BaOmer. Elim Kain Chal Yom Lag BaOmer Lag Erev Shabbos She'oz Mistaprim BaOmer Mnei Kvod HaShabbos. Unless you have a situation for Kavod Shabbos where you have to take the haircut early. So that's the shita of the Shulchan Aruch, that you don't really take a haircut until the 34th day of the Omer, not the 33rd day of the Omer. And then the Ramah says Umdinos Elu Ein Nogin Kidvar. We don't paskin this way. Elim Mistaprim BiYom Lag Umarbim BaOk Tzas Simcha Vein Omer BaOtach. Right, and then he says, "Vat ve'ein l'stopper ad lag ba'atzmo velomi ba'erev." You can't get a haircut the night before; you got to wait till the day of. And then he says, "But if Lag BaOmer is a Sunday, then you can get a haircut on Friday, Chavod Shabbos, right, and etc." Okay, so this is the sheet of the Mechaber and the Ramah, and basically everyone seems to agree that the only reason to celebrate Lag BaOmer is that the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva stopped dying at that time. Okay, that's the reason. So if you look in the Gemara in Yevamos, this is the Gemara that it's all based on in terms of the Avelus of Sfiras HaOmer. So we have the Gemara Yevamos Samach Beis Amid Beis, the Tanya Rabbi Yeshua Omer, right? Nasa Adam Isha Bialduso Yisa Isha Bizkenuso, right? If a person was married when he was a young man, and then you know his wife passes away, so he's an older man and now he's single, so no, you should get married again. Hayulobanam Bialduso Yulobanam Bizkenuso. And if you have children when you're a young man, you shouldn't say, oh, I already have children, it's good enough. You should try to have more children when you're a little older. Shenemar baboker zro zarecha, ule'erev al tanach yadecha. Right? So he says, the pasuk says that you should plant your seeds in the morning and don't remove your hand in the evening, meaning just like you had children when you were a young man, so too you should try to have children when you're older. Ki incha yodea eze yikosher hazeh oze. Yimshneim ke'achad tovim. You don't know which one's going to work out, which set of children are going to, you know, be matzliach. Could be one or the other, and halavai should be both. Right, so that's how this comes up in the Gemara. Right, you want to know why the story of the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva is in the Gemara of Yevamos. So the answer is because they're doing the Puru of Usugyas in Yevamos, and they're talking about having children. And they said, you know, just because you had children when you were younger doesn't mean you should stop and not have any more children when you're older. Just because you're ready, Makai and Puru, you're ready to have a son and a daughter, doesn't mean you shouldn't have any more children. Right, so that's the idea. We learn it from the pasuk about Boker Zra Zarecha. Okay. And then the Gemara segues into the story of Rabbi Akiva. Right? Rabbi Akiva Omer. Rabbi Akiva says the same idea when it comes to Torah. Lama Torah b'yalduso. If you learn Torah when you're a young person, Yilma Torah b'zkenuso. Right? You should still learn Torah when you're old. Ha yilo talmidim b'yalduso, yilo talmidim b'zkenuso. So too, if you have students when you're young, you should have students when you're old. Shenemar baboker zra zarecha v'gomer. Right? Same pasuk. Just because you plant it in the morning doesn't mean you shouldn't plant in the evening. Amru. And it is said about Rabbi Kiva, Shneim Eser Elef Zugim Talmidim Hayilu Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva had 12,000 pairs of Talmidim, or for those who are students of higher math, 24,000 Talmidim, right? Migivas Vadan Tifras, the Kulan Mesu Beperek Echad, Mipne Shalom Noagu Kavod Zelazeh. And they all died.
Are those located, those places?
Yeah, from those two places. I mean, they spanned those areas. And then they all died at one time, because they didn't give kavod one to the other, and the world was desolate. Ad sheba Rabbi Kiva etzel Rabbi Seinu shebedarim. Rabbi Kiva came to the rabbis in the south, v'shana lahem, and he taught them. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua, v'heim heim ha'amidu Torah osasha, and those were the people that upheld Torah at that time. Meaning Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim all died. You see clearly that the Olam was Shamim. The world of Torah was desolate. It doesn't even say the world of Torah. It says the world was completely desolate. And then Rabbi Kiva came to the south and he taught five new Talmidim, and they were the ones who upheld. They were the ones who continued the Masorah of Torah Shabbat. You have to remember, in those days, if the Rebbe didn't leave Talmidim, there was no Torah Shabbat. Torah Shabbat was actually Baal Peh. And therefore, if there was no Rebbe teaching the Talmidim, and the Talmidim weren't there to pass it on to their Talmidim, there was no Torah. The entirety of Torah would have died with those students. All of Rabbi Kiva's Torah would have been gone. And Rabbi Kiva was the teacher, 24,000 students. So saying that's got to be the vast, vast majority of the world of Torah. So literally, the whole Torah Shebaal Peh, or the vast, vast majority of Torah Shebaal Peh, would have died out with them. And then, going a little further, Tana Kula Mesu Mipesach Varatzeres, Amar Rav Chama Bar Abba Vitema Rav Chia Bar Avin, Kula Mesu Misara. They all died a horrible death. They all died during the period of what we call Sfiras Omer, from Pesach until Shavuos. They all died a horrible death. Mai Hi Amar Rav Nachman Askara. They died of Askara, some type of respiratory failure, and that the Gemara in Bracha says is the worst death a person can die. So it was a terribly painful death, right? So it seems that. Whatever, I won't get into all the theories about why they died, but like what?
TB?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know what diseases were going around at the time, but it was a very bad death. That was the idea that the Gemara is trying to lay out. So this is the source where the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva died during the period of Sfiras HaOmer, and when they stopped dying, Rabbi Akiva went and he taught more Talmidim. And those were the five great Tanoim who upheld the Torah at that time. Now, if we go back to the Shulchan Aruch for a second, I think we could ask a very strong kasha on the reasoning of the Mechaber. The Mechaber says that we have a little noagim shalol l'staprad lag ba'omer sha'omim sha'oz pasku milamus, right? And then the Ramah says, yeah, and we have a minig to take a haircut on lag ba'omer, and we're ma'ar ben bok tzas simcha. What's the simcha? What's the simcha that we're supposed to be knowing?
It also says that it's Sarah's.
Right. Okay, well, let's say for argument's sake that the Mechaber is saying we have some kind of a Mesorah that's when they stop dying. What's the kasha that you could ask?
They didn't stop dying, they just all died out.
Right, they didn't stop dying. It says specifically in the Gemara, V'hoyah ha'olam shamem. The world was desolate. They stopped dying because they were all dead. They didn't stop dying because, like, there was a miraculous cure. There just was no one left to die. So what kind of simcha is that? Where's the simcha? And like, okay, they're all dead. Now it's time to be the simcha. It's just strange. So it's really, if you put together the original source with the Shulchan Aruch, why on earth would we celebrate a positive thing because they all stopped dying? Okay. So somebody tell me that. Somebody tell me that. That's not what Shulchan Aruch says. Okay. So I'll ask you. So many will say, no, the reason we observe joy on Lag BaOmer is that it's the Yahrzeit of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. So my question to that is, says who? Says who? So if you're a good Jew, you'll answer me. I'll tell you who says who. The Arizal, that's who. I was like, okay, it's pretty good. Got the Arizal on your side. That's pretty solid. So turn over the page. I don't claim to be any kind of a scholar, but Lamaisa, the people who write these things do claim to be scholars, and perhaps they're even correct. I believe that they are. Because if you look in the classical sources, including the Magen Avraham and others who were the early sources, meaning if you look in the Rishonim, no mention of the death of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai having anything to do with Lag BaOmer. The only thing you really hear about is that the Talmid of Rabbi Akiva stopped dying. Right? And if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, he doesn't mention it. Shulchan Aruch lived during the time of the Arizal. In Tzfat, 10 minutes away from, you know, where everybody goes for Lag BaOmer. And the Magen Avraham talks about it, but you'll see, I won't show you inside, but you can check it out. The Magen Avraham quotes the version of the story that we're going to see here. So this is a sefer. The Arizal didn't really write anything. The Arizal had a great Talmud. He had many great Talmudim, but his greatest Talmud was Reb Chaim Vital. And Reb Chaim Vital wrote his Rebbe's teachings. So, if...
1800 is very late, no?
Yes, these Sfarim were published not during the time of the Arizal, but they were published much later. But the writings are deemed authentic. Rizal is late 1500s. Yeah, they lived the same time as the Shulchan Aruch. The golden age of the Mekubalim in Tzfat. Right, there's so many great Gedolim in Tzfat at the time. That's when they had to try to reestablish the Smicha. They tried to do this. It was a center of Halacha and Kabbalah. It was a good time to be in Tzfat. You know, it's always a good time to be in Tzfat, but Lamaisa, that was a really good time to be in Tzfat. So, okay. So if you take a look, this is the Sefer Eitz Chaim from Reb Chaim Vital that everybody quotes. So if, I'll pick it up somewhere over there. So Gam Heyed Li Ha-Ra Ha-Levi, I don't know what that stands for. See where I am in the middle of the paragraph on top? Ki Huaya Noeg Lomar Nachem Bebirchas Tishkon. Oh, you know what? Let me go further back up. Let's go to the second line. Belag BaOmer, Ani Ra'isi L'Morizal. I saw my Rebbe, the Arizal. Shemona Shanim. I saw him for 8 years. Halach im ishto v'im beso v'haya sham gimel yam imahim. He would go to Meron for 3 days with his whole family. God heidli gam heidli harim shashana echad kodem shikartio so shahalach sham legaleach beno b'mishta v'simcha b'yam imahim. He went there for seemingly what we call it nowadays an upsharon. Right. Okay. Who's Rav Avraham Halevi? Okay. So Rav Avraham Halevi says, Gam heid liya Rav Avraham Halevi, ki huwa ya noeg lomar nachem bebirchas tishkom. So he says that he used to say nachem every day. This particular Rav, he was very much mourning Yerushalayim, and he would say nachem every single day. Okay, shemesayim achara tefila, omar morizal b'shem Rav Shimon ben Yochai, hakavur sham. So the Arizal quoted to him in the name of Rav Shimon ben Yochai, Sha'amar Li, he told me, Emor li isha zeh, lama hu omer nachem biyom simchasi? Why are you saying nachem on my holiday, on my day of joy? Lachain hu yeh b'nechama bizman karov. So he said, therefore, since you disgraced my yom simcha, you will be b'nechama very soon. you're going to need a consolation. V'chein lo yatzah chodesh atzemeis b'no agadol v'kibel kos nechama olav. And this Rav Amram Levi's son, his oldest son died, and he needed to be consoled. Nira mikol zeh sheyesh shoresh liyetziah zu. Right, so you see from all this that there is some source to this. V'hatam shemeis, you see they underlined it, this was not from me, this is the place online I got it from. Shemeis Rashbi b'yom lag ba'omer. Kihume talmidei Rav Yekiva hanal shemeisu b'sfiras ha'omer. So he says, what? Rav Shimon bar Yochai died at that time, and because he was one of the talmidim of Rav Yekiva who died during the period of sfiras ha'omer.
Does that make chronological sense?
So why does it make chronological sense? What do you mean chronological sense? He definitely was Rabbi Akiva's Talmud, but it doesn't make chronological sense. Why? The Gemara said, after all of the Talmudim, Rabbi Akiva died during that period, then he went and he taught Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. What? I can't hear you.
Are there different lists of who is Talmudim?
Okay, but Lamaisa, the one that's in the Gemara in Yevamos says. I don't know the Gemara that talks about their death. Well, definitely Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai was a Talmud of Rabbi Kiva. That's for sure.
No, correct. I remember seeing somewhere that it was a day of simple because he died.
Well, yeah, that's what this is saying. It was a simcha because he died. What do you mean? Yeah, but the Gemara in Shabbos already says that he stopped doing that after a while. And we spoke about that a few weeks ago. That he went back into the cave for some more time, and then when he came out, he was makabel that people are really good, and that, you know, he saw the guy with the two hadassim, one keneged zachar, one keneged shomer, and he felt better about it. But lemaisa, this addition of the Sefer of Chaim Vital, Sefer Priyetz Chaim, is not correct in terms of the way it's written. The original edition, the second one you have on the bottom, is the original edition of the Sefer, and it doesn't say that he died on that day. It says the same thing, except he says, if you just skip to the middle here, it says Gam Heid Rav Avner Levi Ki Hu Ayanoig Tamid Na. Lomar Tamid Nachim Birchas Tishkon, because she see Matvila, Amr Le Mori, Mishem Rav Shimon bar Yochai, Alva Shalom Akavur Sham, and Mor Li Yishazeh, Lomahu Omer Nachim Biyom Simchasi. Now listen to this. This part is different. Kigam Rav Shimon bar Yochai Hayam Me Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, Vuhu Sameach Belag BaOmer. V'lachein, but it's not like, oh, there was an extra tail on the tuff or whatever. The whole thing is different because he says, "Who's sameach b'lag b'omer? L'chein hu yeh b'nechama b'karob? V'chein haya ki lo yatzah chodesh ad shemeis b'no agadol v'kiba kos nechamas alav? Hinei nirem yizesh yeshorish lahalicha zu." Says this is the source of going to the caver of Shimon bar Yochai on lag b'omer. Meaning, the later edition of the Sefer not only said there's a shorish to the minig to go to the caver of lag b'omer, but then he says, he adds this whole thing. Kihu me talmid Rabbi Akiva hanal shemesu b'sfiras ha'omer. Meaning that's clearly added in by whoever made the typo, because he wanted to explain how we know Rav Shimon died at that time. Just as a side point, they found in the Cairo Gniza, the most famous person whose yahrzeit we know is on Lag BaOmer is actually Yehoshua ben Nun. So here's the thing. So then a lot of people, a lot of the haters will then come out and be like, oh, you see, the whole thing's a farce, whatever. It's not true that it's a farce, because the only thing that we're differentiating here is that there's no actual source to say that he died on that day. However, it does say clearly that Darizal would go to Rav Shimon bar Yochai's kever on that day, and Dafka, you know, for even 3 days in advance, he would make a whole little pilgrimage with his family. And it does say that for some reason, this was a Yom Simcha for Rav Shimon bar Yochai. Meaning, it's not like there's no association whatsoever between Rav Shimon bar Yochai and Lag BaOmer.
Is it possible that it was a typo in the first one?
But how would, meaning, anything's possible. But what I'm saying, how would the later edition know?
It doesn't make any sense who's some on the blog, but what does that mean?
He considered it. No, meaning the first one also. The first, both editions say that it was a Yom Simcha for Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. The only question is, was it a Yom Simcha because he died, or was it just a Yom Simcha? But either way, it says it was a Yom Simcha for Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. You understand what I'm saying? So, you can't just hate on the idea of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai being associated with Lag BaOmer one way or the other. Say, oh, the Arizal never said it had anything associated with Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. It's not true. And in fact, if you look in the Magen Avraham, when the Magen Avraham quotes this idea, he quotes almost word for word from this, the corrected edition, not from the secondary edition. Magen Avraham often quotes things from the Arizal and incorporates them into the Shulchan Aruch, but he specifically quotes it. He quotes the version that is the more correct version. Nothing to do with the death of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, but he mentions that there was somebody who used to say Nachem. He writes in the Magen Avraham, in this Pirush on Shulchan Aruch, there was somebody who used to say Nachem on that day, and because of that, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai gave him a really hard time, and his son died, and you know, nothing good. So you see that there is a strong source in the Arizal and Rav Chaim Vital that there is an idea to visit the cave of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai on Lag BaOmer. And specifically that there is some simcha for Rav Shimon Bar Yochai on Lag BaOmer. Just don't know what it is. So I just wanted to suggest very simply that it's really the simcha that we were talking about of the Shulchan Aruch and the simcha that the Arizal and Rav Chaim Vital are talking about is really the same simcha. Meaning, what is Rav Shimon Bar Yochai rejoicing over on Lag BaOmer? It's not rejoicing because he died. So many have explained after the fact that if you look in the Zohar Kodesh, it says that this is the Torah that he gave over on the day that he died. So we're not rejoicing because Rav Shimon Bar Yochai died, we're rejoicing because of the Torah that he taught before he died. Okay, Seder. But Lamaisa, again, there is no actual source to say that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai died on Lag BaOmer. If you want to believe it, it's fine by me. You know, I don't have a problem with it. There's certainly tons and tons of Jews who do believe it, and I don't think that makes them dumb. I just think that in terms of just written materials, let's put it this way. Somebody, a student of mine, was trying to explain to me, says, no, Hashem guides the typos, and you know, we also know that it's the Yortzeit of Shimon Bar Yochai. We have such a Kabbalah. I'm like, it might be true that you know that, but the Arizal didn't know that. And Rav Chaim Vital didn't know that, because it was very easy for them to have written. Meaning, if Hashem guides the typos, why didn't he just guide the pen of Rav Chaim Vital in the first place? So, meaning, why was the Arizal keeping it a secret? Clearly, there was an idea that he held it was chashuv to go there, and he didn't say that it was his Yortzeit. Okay, Maisa. If you look in the Gemara in Yevamos, so what does it say that Rabbi Akiva did? Rabbi Akiva taught 24,000 Talmidim, right? And then what happened? They all died. So what does Rabbi Akiva say? If you taught Talmidim when you were a young man, don't give up. Teach more Talmidim when you're older, because you never know what's going to pan out and what's not going to pan out. So there's different examples of panning out. You know, I read this also once. They used to send my, I don't know, once must have given money to something once. So they send these pamphlets from Rav Palm to my house. And read them, you know, over dinner or whatever. So one of the things Rav Palm said, when you have children, you should always, you know, continue to have children. Why? Because you never know who will give you the most nachas. Now, that's basically what the Gemara says. It's not his chiddush. That's what the Gemara we just read. It says the same thing. You never know who will pan out the best. So Rabbi Akiva is saying also, you should teach Talmidim when you're older, because you never know who's going to pan out the best. We're not talking about, like, some guys knew half of Shas and then some guys knew all of Shas. We're talking about all of his Talmidim died. They all died. You can imagine anyone, no matter how great an individual, just being completely broken by this. He literally poured his heart and soul into tens of thousands of Talmidim, and then they all died. And all of his Torah went with it. There was nothing left, right? I don't know which shir, you know, according to the Gemara and Shabbos, when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim, he got to sit in Rabbi Akiva's shir. I don't know who was sitting in the shir, whether it was the first group of 24,000 Talmidim or the five Talmidim, you know, from the second group. I don't know which shir it was, but that Torah that blew Moshe Rabbeinu away was going to be lost. And Rabbi Akiva had to then start from scratch. And Rabbi Akiva if you understand what it means not to just be completely destroyed by what he had experienced, and the incredibly positive attitude and the rebuilding attitude that Rabbi Akiva had, that's the simcha of Rav Shimon bar Yochai and Lag BaOmer. Meaning Lag BaOmer means everyone stopped dying. We're not celebrating the fact they stopped dying. They stopped dying because they were all dead. We're celebrating the fact that when everyone was gone, Rabbi Akiva, all he saw was a clean slate upon which to write his next chapter. Rabbi Akiva said, all my Talmidim are gone, all my Torah is lost. That's not going to happen. That's clearly not the end for me. And he said, I'm going to find new Talmidim, and I'm going to teach them. And he found his new Talmidim, and he taught them. And arguably, you could decide who you think, certainly the greatest in the Torah of Nistar was Rav Shimon bar Yochai. And this is the Yontif of Rav Shimon bar Yochai saying, had Rabbi Akiva not decided to pick himself up from the ashes and teach more Talmidim, I wouldn't be anybody. And now I'm Rav Shimon bar Yochai. Right? I wouldn't know anything. I wouldn't have all of this Torah to record. There wouldn't be all the Rav Shimon bar Yochai. Listen, obviously there's the Zohar HaKadosh. Rav Shimon bar Yochai is the, from all the Tanoim, he's the king of Nistar. But he's not so bad in Nigla either. We don't paskin so much like Rav Shimon bar Yochai. But, it's... And I was just doing with the kids that I learned with today, we got to the sugya of Kedaihu Rabbi Shimon Lismoch Ala B'Shas Archak. Okay, right? And you'd say Kriya Shema twice in the morning, right? You get twice in the evening. You say before Elos, after Elos. That's not the only appearance of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, every page in the earlier parts of the Masechta, Am Rabbi Yochanan, Am Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Am Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, constantly quoting in regular Shas. Again, he's all over. Anytime you see the Mishnah, Stam Rabbi Shimon is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So you see that without Rabbi Akiva picking himself up and saying, this will not be ending like this. It's not going to end like this. There's still more chapters yet to be written. And because Rabbi Akiva refused to see the end, that's why we have a Rabbi Shimon, that's why we have a Rabbi Meir, that's why we have Mishnah, that's why we have Gemara, that's why we have Nigla, and that's why we have Nistar. It's because Rabbi Akiva refused to give in. And he always saw a brighter future. And this is really the theme of Rabbi Akiva's life, right? We know the start of Rabbi Akiva's life. You look in the Avos Rabbi Nassan, it's the third source on the sheet. So you give the you get the whole story of Rabbi Akiva over there, right, in the middle of the first line. Mahoya Trilaso Shel Rabbi Akiva. What was the start of Rabbi Akiva? Amru Ben Arboim Shana Velo Shana Klum. He hadn't learned anything in 40 years. Right? How did this well get here in the first place? Because the water is constantly falling down on it. Right? Shehu Basar V'Dam, right? So if you guys know this. So Miyad Chazer L'Lomot Torah. He went back to learn Torah. Meaning, everyone says, oh, Rabbi Akiva saw it and made a Kal V'Chomer. But we see things all the time. We say, oh, that's cool. Right? We see cool things and we say, that's cool. And okay, saw something cool today. That's great. Maybe you tell a couple of people. We don't think like that. We don't think, I'm going to see this and I'm going to be down a Kal V'Chomer on myself. And by the way, we're not going to read it all now, but if you want to get it, if you get a chance, read the rest of that comment by the Avos Rabbi Nassan. I mean, you remember learning it when you're a little kid, but it's kedai to see the original statement of the Avos Rabbi Nassan. He says, just to start, Amale Holach Hu Uvno V'Yashvu Eitzel Malamdi Tinokos. He and his son both went to Cheder. They both went to the elementary school. Amar Le, Rebbe Lamdeni Torah, Achaz Rebbe Kiva Barosh Haluach, Ubno Barosh Haluach, Kosov Lo, Aleph Beis Velamda, Aleph Tuf Velamda, Torah Kohanim Velamda, Hayalomed Veholech Ad Shalomed Kol Torah Kula. He started Aleph Beis, Aleph to Tuf, right? Then he's got eventually made it into Kachim, learned it all, learned Kol Torah Kula. Halach V'yashav Lo, and I assume that means he learned all of Torah Shebichsah. Halach v'yashav lo lifnei Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yeshua. Amar lehem rabosai pischuli tam mishnah. I want to learn Torah Shabbal Peh. So kevan shamar lo halacha achas. Halach v'yashav lo beino levein atzmo. Amar alef zu lama nichtava. Beis zu lama nichtava. He heard a halacha in the Torah Shabbal Peh, and he analyzed it from the ground up. He said, why does it say this aleph? Why does it say this beis? And you remember, what was he famous for? And it's funny because we don't even have a single drasha from Rabbi Akiva that he did this. But the Gemara in Shabbos says, what was he famous for? He was Doresh. What? Right, he was Doresh the Kisrei Osios. He didn't just say, why do we have an aleph? He said, why do we have an aleph with this shmijik on top? Why do we have... He was darshaning even every little detail. He wasn't ashamed to ask any question. He wasn't ashamed to say, I don't understand anything. You told me halacha. The halacha is comprised of these words, learned out from this pasuk. So let me look at the pasuk that it's learned from. Why is there an aleph here? Why is there a beis here? Why is there a gimel here? And he darshaned every little thing. Right? And then, just to close with this, there's more to say in this part, but it says, Chazav Hashan ve'amidon divrayim, Reb Shimon ben Elazar, Omer, em sholcha mashal. So I'll give you a mashal to what's going on over here. Right? So he says, there was a fellow, and he was digging a hole in the mountains. Pamachas natal kardumo biyado, v'holach v'yashav ala harva, yamake mimeno tsroos dakos, uvo b'nei adam. So he was just knocking little pebbles off of the mountain, and people came along. V'amru lo, matos, what's going on? Amar lahem harei ani okro umatilo betocha yardin. I'm going to rip up this mountain, I'm going to put it down inside the river, inside the Jordan River. That's what I'm doing. You see this big mountain? You see, I got a pickaxe over here. I'm going to just beat at the mountain until I've gotten every pebble of this mountain. I'm going to relocate it into the Yarden. So Amrulo, Iyata Yochalakar is Kolohar. You can't do that. It's impossible. Right? So Yemisazis Vaholechat Shegia Eitzel Sela Gadol Nichnas Tachtav Sasro Vaakro Vitilu Ala Yarden Vamrulo Ein Ze Mekomcha Ela Makom Ze. And he would knock it off, and then he got a huge boulder, and he picked up the boulder, and he put it inside the yard, and he says, you don't belong over there, you belong over there. Now, I don't really know exactly what that mashal is talking about even, but what I do know is that basically Rabbi Akiva said, I'm going to do something, and they said, that's impossible. You can't do that. He said, but that's exactly what I'm going to do. See, it's impossible until I do it, and then once I do it, you'll see that it wasn't impossible. That was Rabbi Akiva. You understand? When he learned, he's like, oh, I'm going to learn Aleph Beis. So he's like, yeah, but you're 40. You can't learn Aleph Beis when you're 40. It's like, but that's what I'm going to do. You understand? So once I do it, you'll see that I could have done it. The only way for me to prove it to you is by me picking up the mountain and putting it over there. But that's exactly what I'm going to do. So that's Rabbi Akiva. And where did he get this from? He got the koach not just from himself, but he got it from his wife also. Right. You have the Gemara in the Darim. Rabbi Akiva skachale barte de kalba savua. Right? Okay. So, you guys know the whole story over here. Why is it in Maseches Nedarim? Because it has to do a little bit with Hataras Nedarim. Right? That he took a neder, and that he needed Hataras Nedarim later when he found out that Rabbi Akiva was his son-in-law. But just look at one thing over here before we skip the rest of the story. So, basically, Bisisva, or Bisisuva, I don't know how you pronounce the word winter in Aramaic, but it's not Kaita, it's the other one. It's Sisva. Bisisva, Bekaita, I don't know how you... What?
Sisyphus.
Sisyphus? Okay. Right, so something like that. So, Havaganu Beitivna. So he says, basically, in the wintertime, they needed to sleep in the straw. Havakaminaket Beitivna Bein Mazye. Right, so Amar Law. Right, so his wife and he, their hair was always filled with straw because they had to sleep in the straw for warmth. So they looked terrible. They were always disheveled. Their hair was full of straw. His wife's hair was full of straw. And he said to his wife, he says, if I could afford it, I would buy you a Yerushalayim made out of gold. Right? I would buy a Yerushalayim made out of gold for you to wear on your head. Ase Elio. Elio came. Idmi Lahon Ka'ansha. The Kakori Ababa. He appeared like a human being and he knocked on the door. Amar Lahu, Havli Purta de Tivna. I need a little bit of straw. The Yoledis Ish Issisi, Velesli Medam Laguna. So he says, I need something for her to lie down on. I need a mattress for her. So I need some straw. My wife just gave birth and she needs a comfortable place to lie. So give me some straw that I can lay it out and it'll be a mattress for her. Amar Le Rabbi Kiva. This is say, Rabbi Akiva said to his wife, listen to that. See, Eliyahu HaNavi knew he wanted to do something nice for Rabbi Akiva. So what did he do? He knocked on the door and asked for some tzedakah. He asked for some straw. Because he knew this would be Rabbi Akiva's reaction. He says to his wife, Chazi Gavra da'afilu tivna lo isle. He says, look at this guy. He doesn't even have straw. Look how rich we are. Nebuch, this fellow doesn't even have straw. You know, how many of us would have just said, like, oh, the world is so harsh. Our life stinks, and this guy's life stinks even more. You know, Rabbi Kiva, he saw the positive in everything. And that's when his wife said to him, then the Gemara continues, Amrele zil havi be rav. Right, okay, go to the yeshiva. Right, and then you have the rest of the story. Right, he went and he came back with all of his tzaddikim. I think you paid attention to Rabbi Richter, went through it. Right, so I just want to tell you, if you go back to the Avos Rabbi Nassim, you don't have it on your sheet, but if you go to the end of the Avos Rabbi Nassim, so it said, Amru, they said about Rabbi Kiva, lo niftar min ha'olam ad shehayu lo shulchano shel kesef b'shel zav, v'ad she'ala l'mitaso b'sulamos shel zav. By the time Rabbi Kiva left this world, as you know, Kal B'Savua gave him his fortune, so he had everything, all of his things were made out of silver and gold. And hoisa ishto yotza be kardutin uve ir shelzav. His wife would wear an ir shelzav. She had a special crown, a tiara that he made for her, which was a golden Yerushalayim. Meaning he was able to keep that promise that he made to his wife. The Gemara Nedarim records. And then he says, Amrulo Talmidav Rebbe by Yashtanu, or by Shtanu, Rebbe, you're embarrassing us. Mimasha Sisala. You dote on your wife so much. It's embarrassing for us. We're from guys. We don't get involved with women. And here you are. You're being so nice to your wife. You're giving her such nice things. It's embarrassing for us. Amar lam har beit sar nitzara imi batora. She went through a lot for me to have Torah. So be cool. Don't just realize where it comes from. And that's the same thing they have in the right. And they have when she came and she kissed his feet and she said yodei tzadik nefesh behemto, right. She wanted to appear in front of him. The Gemara Ksuvos said she bent down to kiss his feet, and every Rebbe has to have a goon squad that, you know, the bulvans who protect him. So the Rebbe Kiva was no different. They started pushing her out of the way, and here it just says that she wanted to appear before him. Right, you know the phrase that leave her alone. Everything that I have and everything that you have is really hers. Right, so that's the same theme over and over again. But again, what did you see? What according to this line in the Gemara, what got Rabbi Kiva and his wife started on? So, all right, it's time to go to yeshiva. This attitude that they had, this positive attitude. Eliyahu HaNavi wants to give Rabbi Kiva a pick me up, and he says to him, "Can you lend me some straw? I don't even have any straw." And he says, "Oh, he knew Rabbi Kiva would react in such a positive way and say, look at what we have. Nebuch, this poor fellow doesn't even have straw. At least we have straw. Look how rich we are." You know, that's Rabbi Kiva's attitude. And where did it come from? It came from his Rebbe. Who was his Rebbe? So you have the Gemara in Psachim, Kedetanya, Shimon HaAmsuni, Vamrulei Nechemya HaAmsuni. Right, so Shimon HaAmsuni, or some say Nechemya HaAmsuni, and I happen to have it on some authority based on a Midrash Rab. I think it's a Midrash in Shmos, that this fellow, Shimon HaAmsuni / Nechemya HaAmsuni, was the same person as Nachum Ish Gamzu. Right, because the Gemara, I think the Medrash in Shmos says Nachum Ish Gamzu and Rabbi Kiva, you're his Talmud. You inherited the skill of Darish Kol Essen Shebetorah. And again, that fits in perfectly with the whole theme of Rabbi Kiva, that even the word S, he was darshan. He would darshan the Aleph. He would darshan the crowns on top of the Aleph. He would darshan the word S in the Torah.
Nachum Ish Gamzu is also from Shmos.
Oh yeah, I didn't know that.
My friends live on the same block as the what do you call it?
Rechov Nachum Ish Gamzu?
No, it's the caver.
The caver.
They have like a mausoleum
and all that. Nice, cool. So he says, some say that's in the Nechemya HaAmsuni, a Yedorish Kol Esim Shebetor. He would darshan the word S in the whole Torah. That was his magnum opus. That was his life's work. He did other great things, but Lamaisa, his shtick was that he darshaned every time the word said S. Kevan Shehigia Le'es Hashem Lo Kechatira. Now where is that pasuk? They do you a favor over here. They include the Torah or. Right, Dvarim Yud. It means he made it all the way to the 10th parak in Dvarim. So it wasn't like in the first day. It took a while till he got there. And he got to Es Hashem Elokecha Tira Piresh. He separated himself. He says, what am I going to add to Hashem? It says, Es Hashem Elokecha. It can't be. You're not supposed to fear anything but Hashem. Therefore, he stopped. Right? Omrlo Talmid of Rebbe, Kol Esim Shedarashta Mate Elayim. What are we going to do with all the drushes? We have Svarim. We have a whole set. So what are we going to do? Says Amar lahem kishem shekibalti schar al adrisha kach ani mekabel schar al haprisha. Just as we received schar for darshening them, if it's not MS, then we receive the same schar for not darshaning. Says the emes is emes, if we don't think it's true. So the same way when we darshan the first time around, we thought it was the right thing, so too we're going to get schar for not darshaning things that are wrong. And that was the ultimate, right? If you put these two people together, that is Nachamish Gamzu, this was the ultimate Gamzu L'Tova. The ultimate Gamzu L'Tova. It's easy to say Gamzu L'Tova on Gashmias when you're Nachamish Gamzu, right? Okay, it's Nachamish Gamzu, everything's Gamzu L'Tova. So he's really living a life where he cares so much about, you know, he lost his, he lost different things, right? He doesn't care that much about God. But to say Gamzu L'Tova on your Torah, that's very hard to do, right? And then, Ad Shebo Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva, the Talmud said, no, 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 we're not done here. We are not done. I'm going to save you. And he said, Es L'Rabos Talmidei Chachamim. Says, Es Hashem Elokecha Tivur includes L'Rabos Talmidei Chachamim. Right? Everybody asked the Kasha, what? Nechemiah, I'm Sunni, couldn't have thought of that. Right? It's not that hard. Meaning you're supposed to fear God, and you're supposed to fear Talmidei Chachamim. Says, that's what it means, Es Hashem Elokecha Tivur. So the one of my favorite vorts on that is that they say, no, 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 no. Nachamish Gamzu, or Nechemiah Amsuni, Shimon Amsuni, he couldn't learn that pshat. But when Rebbe Kiva saw what he did, when he saw what his Rebbe did, that he was Porish from his whole life's work because he didn't think it was emes, then he said, Es L'Rabos Talmidei Chacham. He says, when you have a person like a role model like him, then, okay, it's shayach to say, Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, that you should fear such an individual like you fear the Rabbanu Shalom. Right. But again, what do we see? Again, the theme with Rabbi Akiva is, I'm not giving in, I'm not giving up. The only reason you think something's impossible is because I haven't done it yet. And that's Rabbi Akiva's yisod. And then, you know, I left out the Gemara in Brachos, but the, you know, called David Rachmana L'Tavu David. He made his own Lashon of Gamzu L'Tova. You could debate whether or not it's the same pshat as Gamzu L'Tova or a little different than Gamzu L'Tova, but okay. The story with the donkey and the rooster, etc., like that they all died. Called David Rachmana L'Tavu David. That was his legacy that he learned from his Rebbe. And last but not least, we come to the story of the Churban. And everybody else, and these were great, great individuals, right? Hayol Nushalayim came and shigil la'arat sofim, Karo Bigdam came and shigil la'arat bayis, Ro Shuol, Shiyotim, Beis Kodshay, Kodshim, Eschilu, Hein, Bochim, Rabbi Kiva, Mitzachik, Amal, Meim, Ma'atam, Mitzachik, Amal, Hem, Meim, Ma'atam, Bochim, Amalom, Makam, Shekasavo, Vazara, Karev, Yumas, Va'achshav, Shualim, Hilchu, Bo, Velo, Nichbe. We're not going to, no, Nivke, sorry. We won't extinguish either, but we won't cry. How can we not cry? Right, Amalehem lekachani mitzachik, and he gives the pasuk in Yeshayo. I must have heard this at a siyum like 50 times before I even understood what he was talking about. But he basically says the pasuk in Yeshayo says va'ida li edim ne'emanim es uri hakoin ve'zecharia ben yivarchyeu ben brachia. Zecharia ben brachia. That's the long name brachia. The long version is yivarchyeu. I can't say it. Yivar Chayah, there you go. Okay, so he says, that's the Navi Zechariah that we know. That's the Navi, that's not Zechariah ben, who was the one who was killed on Yom Kippur, was Zechariah ben Yehoyada, I think. Not this Zechariah. This is the, what? No, this is the one from Treyasar. Zechariah ben Brechia is the one from Treyasar. So he says, these are the two Navi, the two Neviim, they're two Edim. One is Uriah HaKohen and one is the Navi Zechariah. The Navi Zechariah was one of the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, Chagai Zechariah and Malachi. He was one of the last of the Nevi'im. So he says, V'chi ma'inyin Uriah Eitzel Zechariah. How could they be Edom together? It doesn't make sense that they would be Edom together. Uriah b'mikdash Rishon v'Zechariah b'mikdash Sheni. They didn't live anywhere near each other. Ela tola kosev nevuaso shel Zechariah b'nevuaso shel Uriah. What did Uriah say? Quoted in the Navi Micha. He didn't have his own Navi. Right, Micha, another one of the Treyasar. So Uriah was quoted in Micha saying, "Lachin beglachem Tzion sadeh techarish." The field of Tzion is going to be plowed over, and in the Navi Zechariah it says, "Od yeshvu zekinim zekinos berchavos b'Yerushalayim." Right, if you ever go to the old city, you could see it. Yeah. Right, they have that stone outside. I think it's in that big courtyard where the Zilberman Yeshiva kids come out to chuck shtenders during recess. Right, so that's they have a little bench.
The Rothschild House or something.
Yeah. The old Rova. So they have a little, it's engraved in the stones. Mamish, old people sit there and they watch the kids play. It's, I don't know. To me, it's unbelievable. That's Mamish living the Nevuah. You know? So he says, Ad shalonis kaim nevuasa shel Uriya, hayisi misyari shalonis kaim nevuasa shel Zechariah. But now that I see, Akshar shalonis kaim nevuasa shel Uriya, the yadua shel nevuasa shel Zechariah miskayemis. And of course they say, Akiva nichamtanu, Akiva nichamtanu. So they say, what's the pshat Akiva nichamtanu twice? So they say, one is Akiva, you're menachim us, you consoled us with your words. But more than that, you consoled us because you're you. You consoled us because you're Akiva. You know, because you're just a living inspiration for exactly what you say. You look at everything and you see the positive future. You say, of course it's going to happen because we're going to do it. And that's the Yisod. And that's really, I think, what we celebrate on Lag BaOmer. We celebrate that there wouldn't have been a Rav Shimon Bar Yochai if Rabbi Akiva was just like every other great person. But he was so much more than that. He was so much more. He was saying, we're not finished. He says, all my Talmidim are dead, but I'm not dead. And I'm going to make new Talmidim, and they're going to be greater than the first Talmidim. And throughout, we celebrate, you know, we celebrate the life of Rabbi Akiva, and really, that's the key to the Geula. So I said jokingly, I said, which one is more important, Lag BaOmer or Yom HaTzmon? I said, it's the same thing. I said, it's both celebrating the attitude of Rabbi Akiva. I said, what's the attitude of Rabbi Akiva? That we're not finished. There's going to be more. There's going to be greater things to come. Yeah, of course, there's things you can complain about. There's plenty to complain about if you look at Eretz Yisrael. There's no shortage. But Lamaisa, look what we have. Look what we have and look what it's going to be. And that's the way Rabbi Akiva always said. You say, how could it be? It's impossible. Right? And the truth is, if you look at the current situation in Eretz Yisrael, it is impossible. Right? Rabbi Taragin said it himself when he was here. He said, there's no solution. So the solution is that the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to have to fix it. That's the only solution. Right? It's important to understand that, like, we're going to bring in this politician, he's going to take care of it, nobody's going to take care of it. Obviously, Hashem put us on this world to do our best effort, right? We're here, we have to do effort because that's what Hashem wants from us. But in the end of the day, it's an impossible situation, there's no solution. But the answer, if I could think, what someone like Rabbi Akiva would say is, there's going to be a solution because we're going to solve it and we're going to fix it. That's the only reason. You're right, it's impossible. The only reason it's not impossible is because we're going to do it. And the only reason you say, well, the Geula is never going to come. The Geula didn't come for 2,000 years. It's not going to come now. It didn't come for much better people than us. So it's not going to come now. The answer is it'll come because we're going to bring it. It's impossible. Yeah, it's impossible until we do it. Just like it was impossible for Rabbi Akiva to move that mountain and put it inside the river. He said, okay, but that's what I'm going to do. So what's the difference? You can't tell me something's impossible if I'm about to do it. And therefore, realizing the attitude of Rabbi Akiva, understanding that approach is really what's going to bring the geula, and ultimately the real nechama of Akiva nichamtanu is when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt.
Also, this is right after.